Good morning, church family, and happy Sabbath. If God's grace is deeper or higher or stronger than God's divine providence, is the most powerful thing that God has. Today's sermon is on God's providence. I've been studying about this for a while, and it's taken time to try to put it into a sermon. So I hope this morning I can share some of the things that I've come up with. I know everyone knows what providence is, the definition of providence. Who knows what the definition of providence is, the meaning, before I put it up? Raise your hand. Well, the definition in the dictionary says divine guidance. Actually, there was many different, so I put them all together, a few words. So divine guidance, care, protective or spiritual care, foresight, God's power to sustain and guide destiny, divine direction, foresee, to attend. Some more definition. It's difficult to define the meaning of the word providence. When I was studying it, you know, you read about it, but how can you explain it in words? It's difficult. But let's pick it apart in its etymology here, or the history of its pieces. Providence, because the Latin being provide is ambiguous, it can mean foresee or to see towards, to take the step to make sure it happens. So, God's grace is a power in the world to help us change, but God's providence is God's power to change things. So this is a helpful paraphrase of God's acts of providence. God does absolutely everything that needs to be done to bring about his purposes. So this doesn't necessarily have to do with us, what we want, it's what God wants. It's his providence, his purpose, what he wants to see happen. So God sees to it that it happens. So how does he do this, and why? Why does he have the privilege to do it? Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 kind of gives us an idea, because he says, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. You know, it was one thing that when I came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I realized that prophecy really is that God is talking about the future, and he's saying, this is what will happen, and I will let you know ahead of time because you're my servants and I want you to be prepared. So he will make sure that this is accomplished. So in other words, I will see to it. So see to it, provide. I will provide. I will see to it that everything works together for the goals that I have for the world. So God has providence for this world and in our lives. So that was some of the definitions found that you can find in the dictionary or online. But what's the Bible say about providence? So God is governing and directing all things. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he is also sustaining all things. And who is he doing it through? His Son. So it says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the power, by the word of his power. So God controls what? How much? All things. What, on earth only? In our solar system? In our galaxy? In the universe. And just recently, the scientific world launched the James Webb telescope. It's an $80 billion telescope. And this telescope is, they want to see how big the universe is. And right now, it is so big they can't even fathom it. When they point that telescope to the one spot in the universe that they believe that there's no stars, they say, that's a blank spot in the universe. And when they point the telescope there, what do they see? They see not millions, but billions of galaxies. Billions of galaxies. One grain of sand has over 147 trillion atoms in it. And there's still more stars than that one grain of sand. So the universe is so big, but who's in charge of it? God. Our God is in charge of it. So not only does he sustain all things, he preserves all things. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, you are the Lord alone. You have made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it. Now the sea and all that is in them, and you preserve them all, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God. So not only does he sustain, but he preserves everything on this earth, to the depths of the ocean, to the heights of our atmosphere, to everything around us, you and I. He preserves it. So what does the spirit of prophecy say about God's providence? Or tell us about it? The sovereign of the universe was not alone in his work of benefits. He had an associate, a co-worker who could appreciate his purpose and could share his joy in giving happiness to created beings. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus is his Son, knows his purposes. They are Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all involved here. But still, what is providence? I know that providence is difficult to describe because it's God. And who can describe God? Can you explain God to me? Tell me what he looks like. Tell me what he's thinking about right now. Tell me what he's doing. So, unless you know God in such a way, then you cannot tell me his purpose exactly. The only way we're blessed is through the Word of God. If you read the Word of God, it tells us a lot. But how about in our lives? He tells us what's coming in prophecy, but what about your life, my life? From, I'm an older person. What about the young people? What about Mia? What about Grant? What about, there's some younger people here. Do you know what your future holds? Can you tell me what your plans? You might have some plans. Do you plan to get married? Do you plan to go to school? What do you plan to do? So we may have ideas of what our future we want it to be, but God's purpose, only through the Word of God does He tell us and we know, but really intimately Christ Jesus knows Him so well. He knows the times, He knows everything. He knows Jesus and the Father talk about each one of us individually. Through while He's taking care of everything, He says, you know, my servant John, I know what he's going through at work. My servant Lorinda, I know what she's going through. Brother Rick, I know what he's going through. And he's talking with Christ about it, and the angels, and the Holy Spirit, and while he's doing everything else that he does. So the Father wrought by his Son in the creation of all heavenly beings. By him all things were created, where they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him. And so this is kind of the part. The angels of our God's ministers, radiant with the light ever flowing from his presence and speeding on rapid wing to execute his will. So he has all of heaven at his command to carry out his purpose in your life and my life and in this world. So how does God's divine providence affect us? As Christians, we know that everything happens for a reason, because the personal triune God has created all things and has a plan for everything that happens. He is sovereign over all, such that even a sparrow cannot fall to the ground apart from his will. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. He works out all things, not just some things, according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. This is essentially is a theological explanation, but God knows what's going on in your life and my life, to the point where, you know, consider the lilies of the field. They do not sow, they do not gather, do not store anything. But yet Christ told his followers that, why do you worry about the bread? Where are you going to get food tomorrow? Where are you going to get clothing? Where are you going to live? Where are you going to work? But yet, every day I wake up, I worry about those things. I have a job, I have to go do things, and we all have things to do. But yet, he's telling us not to worry about them. How many of you can come to the point to where you will trust, and we will trust God every day, that we do not have to worry about these things? So, because in his word he says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. So we just read, how much riches does Jesus Christ have under his control? All things. The whole universe. Everything. Also, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. On my head, they're numbered. God knows what we think every day, the things we worry about, the things we care about, our sorrows. Now, he even knows providence, who you will marry. Because God is love, and God's love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. So God's providence works even to the point of who you will marry. God's providence knows and is so divine that he knows your health. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And how does providence work in this area? It's like any other. God can heal. He can raise the dead. He can give health. What about finances? Does God have providence over your finances? Does he have providence over the world's finances? He does. I know the last time I spoke with you about what's coming, and coming very soon, is the Great Reset. We will not have a monetary system where you and I will be passing dollars around. The plate will not go around. It's going to become digital. There won't be any money, because Satan counterfeits everything that God does. We always think that God's playing catch up with Satan. We see the world going out of control. We see our governments, we see everything in this world, we see war. But God is in control. He is ahead. As for all the strife and all the polarization, God is building his kingdom. Satan is trying to build his kingdom. So in the future, we will, as we talked about before, there won't be any money. So where is everything going to come from? You're not going to be able to buy or sell. So where are you going to be able to get what you need? It's from God. He is going to provide everything, all our needs. The nations, they believe that they're in control. They are moving faster and faster towards their worldly kingdom. But God rules over them all. They cannot do anything that he does not allow them to do. Because he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So what about life and death? Well, Brother Rick mentioned several passing of the brethren, our family members. God holds life and death in his hand. Whether we sleep or we are awake, God has a plan. And his providence works in every situation, even the tragedies, even when we lose people. That I just heard the sister that just suddenly passed away. They say, where was God in that? Well, God was there. What about your education, young people, or those that are thinking about education? God's providence is in that also. Where you go, what you learn, your careers, what you plan to do. How about your work, your job, your career? What you're going to do when you grow up, or what you're doing now. God's providence is leading in each one of these areas. There's no such thing as chance. Every day, God's providence is working. So understanding that there is no such thing as chance, this should dramatically change, reframe your view of everyday life. Do we trust in the sovereignty of God as much as we say we do? Phrases like, good luck, it was a coincidence, serendipity, or as fate would have it, easily fall from our lips or flood our thoughts as we describe or reflect on our situations, our locations, our relationships of everyday life. Well, I live here in Bakersfield for a reason. You know, I've asked God, is there another place that we could go? And he hasn't answered that one, so there must be a reason. Providence has not worked in my life to say, go somewhere else, but maybe there's others that it has. So now, how do we approach providence? How do we interact with providence in our daily lives? Do we treat God's providence like bumper cars? Are we just bouncing around from one situation to the next? However, what comes today, oh, we'll deal with that and we just see where it leads us? Or are we, you know, personality-wise, do we just, you know, go in life, well, we're goal setters. Well, I'm gonna get this done, and next week I'm gonna do this, and the following month I'm gonna do that. And we're just so focused on our own goals. And so it has to do with is what I want to do or what I have planned. Is God's providence part of your plans? Or maybe you treat God's providence like free life, going along with the crowd. What makes us feel good at the time? Even however you approach life and the situation, we need to remember God is in control. We may believe that we are walking the path that we have set out or that we've planned, but it's not so. If the Lord were to stop sustaining the existence of the world, everything, including us, would just immediately vanish into nothingness. At every moment, we are completely dependent on God's continuing to sustain his creation. The universe does not continue in its own power. So if the universe cannot continue in its own power, can you live your life in your own power? It's impossible. God is in control. So how does providence work in our life? Well, we look to the Bible and it states, it gives us a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So looking to Jesus every day, if he's the author and finisher, so what part are we playing in our life? So tomorrow you have something planned. Is God the author and finisher of those plans? Or are we making our own plans? So if we look at the heroes of faith that are in the Hall of Fame of faith, some you might recognize there, were they in charge of their lives? Were they in control of their lives? Faith's Hall of Fame, as in Hebrews 11 is commonly called, they had failures, each one of them. When you read their example in their lives, they had victories, but they had failures. And this is where you understand how God's providence works, is because despite the failures, God still works out his providence, his drawing you and I to the knowledge of him. You know, I know there was graduations this week. My daughter graduated. And, you know, at the commencement, you hear the young people, they're talking. One of the young men that was talking, he said, you know, they said, now today's the beginning of our lives as adults. And he says, you know, they told us it's going to get worse, it's going to get harder as you're an adult. So we just had the funnest times of our lives. Now we're moving on to become adults, work, school. And if you look back on your life, wherever you're at now, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can see God's providence work. When the road was going this way and it turned, or you were going this way and God led you a different way, or he opened a door for you, or he answered a prayer, or he didn't answer a prayer, or he said, wait. That is all providence working in our lives. Because as the examples here, Abraham was promised, given a promise by God. But what happened? He got tired of waiting for God. Moses, he was told, he knew the plan, but he was fearful, and he started doing things on his own. He killed the Egyptian, and then he ran off, and then when it was time for him to go and do what God had planned, he thought he was to do, he was afraid. Sarah laughed at God's promise. You know, David, Barak, all these examples. But did that stop God from using them? It did not. God's providence moved in their behalf, even though they had a detour. We all have detours. But God works out his will in our lives. But does that mean that we do not have our own will? No, it doesn't. How they work together. The spiritual life is sustained by the use of those means that providence has supplied. Providence supplies you and I with what we need to have this relationship with God. Amen. To have faith in God. When the world doesn't have faith in God, when the world and those around us are just going, you know, as everything goes, that's how they live their lives. But providence supplies us with what we need. If the followers of Christ would grow up into a perfect man or woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, he must eat the bread of life, drink the water of salvation. He must watch and pray and work in all things, giving heed to the instructions of God and his word. So we acknowledge, at the bottom it says, so long as all created beings acknowledge the allegiance of love, there was perfect harmony throughout the universe of God. So when you and I acknowledge God in our life every day, when you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm going to go to work today. I have all these things to do. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to travel. If you acknowledge God, He will work His providence out in your life and my life. No matter what comes, He will work out His good will, His pleasure. As the song that we were singing, Be Still My Soul, every day, if you and I believe the Lord is on my side to bear grief and pain, to leave to God the order in our lives, leave that to Him. He will be our best friend in the thorny ways. He will bring a joy to our end of our day and our thorny ways. God undertakes and He guides the future as He did in the past. As we read the Bible and we see how He worked in the lives of the patriarchs and the people in the Bible, He guided their lives, He will guide our lives. Have confidence. His voice rules over the waves. Jesus is coming soon, and we will bring, He will bring with Him salvation, and we will be with Him forever. He will change our grief, our tears, our fears into joy. Now, providence is a resting place. When you trust in His providence every day, in His power, in His sovereign power, and your life, give everything to Him. As a young person, as an old person, the one thing, providence can only be learned by you. No one can teach it to you. I cannot teach it to you. Your parents can't teach it to you. You can't learn it. It's only learned by life. It's only learned by experience, because providence is so close to your fears, your joys, your feelings, your love, your hatred, everything. And so the way to learn to trust God is to rest in His peace and just give Him everything, surrender everything to Him. So if you would like to allow God's providence in your life to work in such a powerful way that to guide you, to lead you, your family, in health and wealth and every aspect of your life, I ask you to stand with us as we close this morning. Pray that these words would help encourage you.